Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live in Lansing with the Michigan Association of Broadcasters Excellence Award winner for Best Personality. This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen.
Good evening, Wednesday. Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. Tonight, we'll break down the federal report on how Michigan State University handles sexual assault claims and what the problems really are at the university. Also, wait till you hear what John Kerry said today about the nuclear deal with Iran. That deal is, in fact, now going to move ahead. The last Democratic senator they needed to support it has now pledged her support. But first, here in Lansing, that special committee that was formed to decide the fates of Representatives Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat is now beginning its work. The chair of the of that committee is Ed McBroom, state representative from Vulcan. Ed, great having you here.
Oh, thank you for having me on tonight.
Yeah, and this it was Speaker Cotter who actually asked you to chair the committee himself then?
Yes, that's correct.
And what is that something you really wanted to do?
Well, it's kind of funny. I had asked the speaker to chair the House Oversight and Ethics Committee back at the beginning of this term. And, you know, at the time, when he asked, well, why do you want to do it? And, you know, I talked about my deep concerns for the integrity of the institution and how I want to protect that and look into, you know, any problems that come up within government, whether they be corruption or just waste. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I kind of expressed my interest in those issues before this issue was on anyone's radar or had even happened. And so I guess that's how I kind of got the assignment.
Okay. So is the answer that you did, in fact, want to get involved in the case specifically?
I'm willing to. I mean, it's a huge, it's a very, very weighty issue. I delve into it very carefully. I feel honored the speaker would ask me, and I feel prepared, I guess, as much as anybody could be.
So let me ask you this, though, because the speaker's, he said right in the open that he wants these two to simply resign. How objective can the investigation really be, then?
Well, you have to remember that this investigation, as far as for the House goes and the committee I chair goes, it's not an investigation to determine criminality or guilt or innocence or anything like that. We're not a court. What we're simply doing is we are called by the Constitution to examine and determine the fitness or the qualifications of every single member of the House. And we do that when we swear everyone in at the beginning of a session. Uh-huh. And occasionally that has to be reevaluated during the term.
Okay. How serious of a violation do you think occurred here?
Well, I think that it's by what looks like from the report and what's, you know, coming out in the news is many serious, but on their own, perhaps not all that large, but, you know, the summation of all the sum total of all of these indiscretions is certainly adds up to a pretty serious case of violating the public trust.
And if they're expelled, what's the process for expelling them?
It's the expulsion process itself or the censure process itself would simply be a letter or a resolution, we call it, in the House that would say that it, for these reasons, so-and-so is no longer qualified to be in office.
And the entire House would vote on that then?
The whole House would vote, and it would have to be a two-thirds majority, a supermajority.
And your committee would decide if it goes to the House?
Our committee is tasked with giving a recommendation or a report to the House. We may also have the resolution, or we may submit our report as just a report, and then the resolution will be drafted thereafter, if that's where it goes from here.
I'm talking to Ed McBroom. He is the chairman of the this committee that will looking into the Gamrat-Corser affair situation, however you want to call it. Todd Corser released a statement this week. He said that this is a, quote, kangaroo court to exact, quote, political retribution against him. And he said the report is doctored. He also says, quote, the speaker now handpicks the evidence to be presented to the handpicked committee to make the decision if I should be expelled. How is that inaccurate?
Well, it's an unfortunate thing that he would even, you know, suggest that our committee is a kangaroo court when we hadn't even met yet. He hasn't even seen, you know, the process. And it's inaccurate in the sense that the Speaker has not handpicked any of this information. This report came from the nonpartisan House Business Office, headed up by Mr. Bolin, who is well respected by all people within the legislature and both parties, and has been there a long time and very much cares about the integrity of the institution as well. Mm-hmm. And so he's the one who put this report together, not the Speaker. And the Speaker, sure, he picked the committee, but remember that that's who he's supposed to pick from. He has to pick from the 110 members.
How much discussion has there been between you and the Speaker about expelling Todd Corser?
None. Mm-hmm. None. He called me up. He said, "Are you willing to chair the committee?" And I said I was. And, mm-hmm. I think we might have exchanged, "Do you know what you're in for? And yeah. Are you ready for this?" And I said, "I've been getting ready. I've been researching and reading past the precedent and getting myself prepared."
Did you have any kind of relationship with Todd Corser yourself before this? How well did you know him?
Well, we're colleagues, and I tried very hard. I kind of have an honorary position in our own caucus called the caucus dean, mm-hmm. and I kind of have a mentoring responsibilities and things like that. And I've tried very hard to reach out to all of the members of my caucus and even the members on the other side of the aisle, just, whether we're expressing well wishes to someone who's been sick or injured or lost a loved one, being there to pray for folks when they need it. So, I've had lunch with Todd. We've discussed things. I wouldn't say that we're close friends by any means, but I've tried to establish a relationship with every member of the House.
Cindy Gamrat, she was rejected from the Republican caucus, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, now, what about her situation? Do you see these two as having completely separate outcomes, or are they tied together?
Well, I don't know yet. And that's certainly not for me to decide alone. I would say that in my readings of the report thus far, and from the reports in the news media, the issues are so entangled and entwined together, it will certainly be difficult to find a way to separate them.
But what does that say, though, about the relationship with other Republicans if she's ejected from the caucus and, Corser himself says that there was some political pressure on him even before the scandal?
Well, they can make all sorts of allegations about what pressure was or wasn't on them beforehand. I would say that, there was an ejection that happened, and you certainly, that was the Speaker's call at the time. Mm-hmm. And, there were reasons for that, but I think I would not be out of line in saying that a lot of us were looking forward to moving on beyond that and reestablishing good working relations again. And even in the midst of the time that she was not within the caucus, there's not been any lack of civility working together. I've co-sponsored several of her bills.
Let me ask you this, though, because she says this should not be a decision for you to make and your colleagues. This should be decided by her constituents if she should be removed from office. Why should that not be? Why should that not happen that way?
Well, that really shows a lack of understanding about the Constitution. The Constitution, which was adopted by the people of the state of Michigan and thoroughly debated during the convention on this particular issue, mm-hmm. says that the House determines whether or not members are able to fulfill their office and are qualified to be in office. And if they aren't, then they either can, at the beginning of the session, not be seated at all to begin with, or during the session can be expelled.
Okay.
And that's the constitutional role.
From the report, what's the most serious indiscretion that you'd say is in the report?
Well, I think, like I said before, it's a sum total, but I certainly think one of the most troubling allegations that we have to deal with is the misuse of the office, of the taxpayer resources.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, though, because it's and part of the report says they required House staff to discuss their romance during normal business hours. When you're with your aides, aren't there times where you're talking about non-state issues in the office during business hours? Does that not typically happen?
Well, I would think that anyone who works in any sort of office setting anywhere probably recognizes that occasional incidental conversation happens. It's the repetitive, continuous, keep away from work, not getting to the proper duties of the office that then become the problem. It's not, hey, I hope, you know, did you enjoy the game this weekend? Or, mm-hmm. you know, how was your cookout? Or how was your kid's soccer game that might come up, you know, at the beginning of the day or, you know, on the way home? But it's what the evidence in anybody's office shows to, are you actually doing the work that's been assigned? And can the public trust you to fulfill your duties?
Okay, so what this could last, what, several weeks, the hearings on this?
As a chair, I don't plan for them to last that long. I expect them to be over within 2 weeks.
Okay, are you going to have Corser and Gamrat in front of you to testify somehow? Or
The resolution that established the committee's existence guarantees them the right to come before the committee and speak to us.
Yeah, because Corser, what he says is, quote, I will be given little to no ability to defend myself in the committee action or to present any evidence to counter any allegations. Is that true?
Well, it's not. Mr. Corser is a lawyer, and, you know, a lot of people assume that this is some sort of trial or a court. But that's not the case. The case is the members look at the evidence and make a determination on whether or not the member is still qualified to hold the office. And the member in question will be given the opportunity to speak for themselves and to answer the allegations and to try to argue for why they are still capable and why they are still qualified.
Hmm. What kind of media attention do you anticipate as this thing unfolds?
Well, I think there's a great deal of attention to it. It's been unfortunately a very sensational story in a lot of ways. It's a huge, huge fall from grace, and it's a very sad chapter for the Michigan House and right. for two individuals and their families.
Okay,
and,
so having said that, do you think they could just stay in office after all this?
What's the question?
Do you think that deciding to take no action could be the outcome for real?
I think it's hard to say yet without having the committee actually have had a chance to meet and have those discussions yet. So I'd really rather not prognosticate on the outcome at this point. You know, the three outcomes are either nothing, censure, or expulsion. That's the way I see it, though.
Well, we'll certainly follow it, and hopefully we'll talk to you again as this proceeds. Ed McBroom, State Representative, a Republican leading this special House committee looking into the Corser-Gamrat affair and the way they handled it in office. Representative McBroom, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for the interview. Yep. Have a good night.
You too.